You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to go. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everybody. James Edwards back in the studio with you. Over to Keith Alexander and his excellent guest. I hope you enjoyed tonight's installment of the Confederate Hour as we continue to celebrate Confederate History Month. But you heard an old-time gospel hymn there, Lily of the Valley.
One of my favorites. Songs I grew up singing all my life going to church, and it is Easter weekend.
And it is Easter weekend, so... it's Easter weekend, so we are going to celebrate what Easter means. It's the weekend where most of the Christian world commemorates what is the most pivotal point in history, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I wrote on our website this week, imagine what it must have felt like for his mother, disciples, and that small band of family and friends to watch as he agonizingly gasped for air on the cross. What was going through their minds as they witnessed the most unspeakable act of injustice the world has ever seen unfold right before their eyes? And how often do we find ourselves lamenting the slow grinding death of our nation, of our culture, our very flesh and blood kinsmen in this degenerate age? At our gatherings, we recount horror upon horror as we feel our way of life slipping from our grasp. But yet, even in this, the very darkest of hours, we must remember the words spoken so long ago at the empty tomb. He's not here. He is risen. To the degree those words resonate in our hearts, they strike fear in the hearts of our enemies. The more we take them to heart, the more those who oppose us lose heart. They know instinctively what we too easily forget. It only takes one breakthrough, one person. We don't have to take over the Republican Party, or we don't have to take over the media. Although it's nice to have a foothold here on the mainstream airwaves with this network and this program. We don't have to outnumber them, folks. It only takes one, and it can happen because it did happen. And he promised that we would do even greater things than he because he would be working through us. And I ask you to take the time to ponder that this hour and this weekend as we celebrate Easter and everything that it means. And helping me join in that celebration this hour, a special show tonight. I guess we talked politics for the first hour. April, a busy month. Easter falling in April this year. Sometimes it falls in March, of course. But tonight, with Confederate History Month continuing that series and with Easter, it's been a unique show. And Eddie helps me conclude it this evening.
Well, I'd like to say thank you, James, for having me on tonight. I'd like to thank the audience tonight for listening to us. We'd be nothing without you. You've got a little fan mail today. I should have mentioned it earlier, but I really appreciate y'all people supporting our show. And James is right. We mentioned, me and James talked about a couple of days ago about Christ and what's going on out in Nevada. And I told James, and he agreed, just about every hardship that we're suffering now at the cesspool and at the Liberty Roundtable and that all Christians are suffering can be traced right back to our Christianity because we are Christians. We do love Jesus Christ, the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why we are being attacked. And it's nothing new, people. The attack's been going on ever since the Garden of Eden from Satan. And if we did not, you know, profess our love for the baby Jesus, we did not profess to be solid Christians, we would be skating by. We'd probably have a big contract with Clear Channel or something. But and another thing James said, and old Pappy has always hammered this to other folks, mentioned on this show, we don't need a majority. You know, it's not only is it biblical, it goes back to the Constitution of the United States and to the battles of the war of the first independence. I've been told anywhere from 1.5% to 4%. We'll just round it off to about 3%. Only about 3% of the colonists fought against the Buddy British in the War for Independence, the First War of Independence. And at that time, we talked about on this show before, the British were called the Invincibles. I mean, I don't know how many years they had gone without suffering the major defeat. They were considered unbeatable. And a mere 3% of ragtag, ill-equipped, half-starved colonialist, you might say, defeated them. It took years, and there was major suffering, but we flat did that. And I believe that. I'm very optimistic we could do that again. Well, it looks like we're getting ready to go to a break, I imagine. Okay, though.
Not necessarily a break. I just wanted to say something. Well, what I was going to say, Eddie, and you're right, and you can draw some historical precedents and parallels where, you know, a David and Goliath type of situation, if you will. But I have become of the mindset in recent years that we mustn't concern ourselves with the outcome. And if you liberate yourself from being concerned with wins and losses, you enjoy the struggle that much more, because too often we tether ourselves to a particular candidacy or a particular ballot initiative. And if we lose that, we become so discouraged and we give up the fight. And I've seen people burn the candle at both ends. They come into this cause, this movement, hard and heavy, and then at the first sign of resistance, everything not going their way, they leave. And that's okay. I mean, you know, sometimes that happens. But here in the political cesspool, 10 years later, going strong, growing strong, we are in this for the long haul. And certainly, don't get me wrong, folks, I want to win. I want to reclaim America's destiny. I want to have our people safeguarded and their interests looked out for. And I believe that we can win, and I do have hope that things will turn around. But even if I knew it was a lost cause, even if I knew that there was no hope, I would still continue in this fight, because it is the right thing to do. We're honor-bound and duty-bound to do it. Now, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Easter, but Eddie, you said it does, so I'll let you share why it does. Then I've got much more forthcoming this hour. We are going to draw some political parallels this hour. We're going to talk about rattlesnakes, too. We're going to find a way to correlate Easter and rattlesnakes. And you don't want to miss this. It's an interesting observation we'll make in just a few minutes' time.
Well, James, as you just about always do, you made a very important point there. I would like to say we need to define, and James, you made me think of this, we need to define what we mean by win. What is our win? Well, as long as we, you know what? John Adams said that when questioned by one of his friends, and I think I've brought this up on the show before, one of us has, in a cesspool, it doesn't matter who, but we said it. One of his friends said, look, John, you know, you're going to lose. I mean, look at you. You've got 3% of a ragtag army here facing the mightiest army in the world. Why are you doing this? He said, because it's right, because it's our, you know, we're doing God's will. He said, and it's just what he said, and this goes back to you, James. He said, it doesn't matter if you win or not, because we focus too much on winning. John Adams told him, he said, look, the duty is mine. The results belong to God, and that's true. And I'm telling you what, folks, just because we're taking what we think is just lacking, as long as we're doing in your heart, if you know you're doing the will of God, if you're following, you know, Jesus' instructions, you're not going to win. I mean, after all, the chief goal is to get into heaven.
And this, of course, ties into Confederate History Month as well. In fact, one of the biggest causes of dispute the Confederates had with the Founding Fathers was that they didn't purposefully and intently mentioned the name of Jesus Christ in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and so they did. The Confederate seal, Deo Vindici, means with God our liberator, with God our vindicator, rather, and that was in the great seal of the Confederate States of America. So it ties into what we were talking about last hour. We'll be back.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. The everlasting
Lord. All right, everybody, welcome back to our salute to Easter, this holiest of days in the Christian calendar. I went to a Easter-related event earlier today with my family. I took my wife and daughter, and it was at a church here in the local community, and they had 10 different stations with live actors. It was all decorated and just a great setup, great props, and it was called The Resurrection Journey. And basically, you walk through a retelling of the last days of Christ's life, beginning with his triumphant entry into the city where they shouted Hosanna and waved the palm branches at him, then on to the betrayal of Judas, the Passover meal, the Last Supper, his arrest, the denial of Peter three times of Jesus, how he was mocked by the Jews on his way to Golgotha, the crucifixion, his burial, and then, of course, the resurrection. And it was great. You know, my parents were good enough to take me to church all my life, and we were there every Sunday. And I didn't always enjoy it as a child, much like I didn't enjoy going to school. But as I am older now and a father myself, I realized what a great blessing it was to have parents who did that for me. And now, of course, I do that with my daughter, and she's being raised in church. And listen, you know, I know, folks, I know, you know, and we talk about this, I think, anytime we infuse matters of faith into this political talk show, you know, we are who we are. And I think that's to everyone's benefit. You know, we have had chances to cash out and have, well, it would be hard to have greater success because we have stuck true to our principles and have been very successful in radio, thanks to our audience. But, you know, it is a political talk show, and I know with an audience this large, obviously not everyone shares our faith. But one thing that I am so proud of my audience for, one of the many reasons, and I know it is predominantly a Christian audience, but there are some. And you know how I feel, folks. I mean, certainly there are people at the church that we go to that are silly and ignorant, and they don't know what's going on politically, and they're just woefully out of touch with reality when it comes to politics and who are their friends and who are their enemies. But they are good people. And there are certainly good people with whom I would enjoy being in the trenches and fighting in battle with that don't share my faith. In fact, I got a letter from a gentleman named John who's a contributor to this show, and he wrote a very well-reasoned argument as to why, you know, the Christian faith doesn't serve the best interests of European Americans. I don't agree with him, but, you know, and he disagrees with me, but he sent in a donation with his, and he's a loyal contributor. And even though we disagree sometimes, we still stand together. But this is who we are. And one of the charms and allures of this show, I think, is that we are who we are, and people recognize that, and I think they value that. We don't take polls to see how we should talk and what issues we should champion on this show. We let our true colors shine through, and hopefully that sincerity and that honesty is enough. But this weekend, of course, Eddie, we celebrate Easter, and I shared, of course, that I was raised in church, you know, singing these gospel songs that we're featuring tonight from the time before I had consciousness as an infant all the way through today, and I share that with my family. While you had the exact opposite experience. You came to know Christ just a couple of years ago in your 60s.
That's correct. And I think, James, the fellow named John, as you said, sent the donation in and said that Christianity didn't serve white people. I would like to say, I would like to just tell the fellow that you may be right if you're speaking to the modern churches, but, you know, it's just like James said, I'm hardcore Christian. James, hardcore Christian. Everybody in this associated with the cesspool and Liberty Roundtable, we're all Christians. We all love Jesus Christ. We all worship the same Christ and the same God. And I don't think you can say that we do not serve white people. I tell you what, we have suffered more than you can possibly imagine. For instance, the IRS has destroyed me. They're working on James right now. James's family used to be, I would say, low-level millionaires, and they have been totally wiped out because of their faith, and they have held strong, just like James said. And also, when you talk about the churches, the Christian churches, you can talk about the modern church. All this anti-white propaganda coming forth in a lot of the mainstream churches didn't come about until about 40 years, started coming in 40, 50 years ago. I can remember when it came in. Keith has talked about that. But that's true. So don't get down too much, fella, on Christianity. Get your own Bible, study the Bible, stay hardcore Jesus, and you can't go wrong. That's for sure.
I'd like to say this, Eddie. I mean, certainly there was a great revival, and it's, again, to draw a comparison to what we talked about in the second hour in the Confederate Army, you know, a great Christian army, great Christian leaders. And certainly, with regards to politics, white non-believers and white Christians alike are in the same boat. Now, I think certainly non-believers understand this better than a lot of Christians today. Christians think that if they can kowtow to political correctness enough, that they'll be absolved. But they're in the same boat as all of us, and I just hope the churches soon realize that appeasement will never work. They can water down the scriptures and pick and choose which verses they're going to share, but they're never going to curry favor with the left. The same folks hate us all. They always have, always will. And, you know, Christ and mainstream, everyday, working-class European Americans are hated, again, as I said, by the same people. And it's in the media. It's everywhere. Google, for instance. Google, on days of particular significance, will have a doodle. They call it a Google doodle. And, of course, on Martin Luther King Day, for instance, they'll have a picture of Martin Luther King on the Google homepage, google.com. Maya Angelou's birthday or somebody like that, you know, the real important people, they'll do it. But on Easter, on all days of Easter, who would you think on Easter Sunday would probably be the most iconic person to be featured that day. You might think Jesus Christ, but no. Last year on Easter, and again, Google frequently decorates its logo to celebrate the various holidays and special events, birthdays, etc. On Easter Sunday last year, there was no artwork depicting Jesus Christ or the cross or anything to do with Easter, not even Easter eggs. They had artwork celebrating the birthday of Cesar Chavez. So, again, folks, we're all in the same boat on this, and I wish the mainstream Christians today would understand that a little bit better, but we're working. You know, we're doing our part to bridge that gap, and hopefully they'll come on over to our more muscular brand of politics. Eddie, got about a minute left in this segment, and then we're going to get to the rattlesnakes thing, which I know you're excited about, but why don't you give us a little idea of what perhaps you'd like to talk about as this hour continues.
Well, I was going to read a little article here, but I don't think I have time to do that. James, you really hit me hard tonight. I was just telling James before we came in, I missed Holy Week. I go to a small Baptist church, and we don't have a lot going on, not like James is. He goes to a bigger Baptist church. But I really look up to the Episcopalians and, you know, the Orthodox Church. Matter of fact, this should give the people some hope. There's a big Christian revival going on in Russia right now. Matter of fact, Vladimir Putin is a devout Christian. He belongs to the Russian Orthodox. But I wished I could have done Holy Week, and I really missed it going yesterday, James. I wish I could have, but me and my brother Keith were out working hard doing some stuff for the cesspool and doing stuff to Keith that just had to be done. But I'm looking forward to the rest of the show so we can further talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior.
We'll be back right after this, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, You can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. Playing a little Southern Gospel old-time hymn for an old Southern Baptist like myself. That's music to my ears. Grew up with that kind of stuff, singing it in church all my life. And so we share it with you tonight because we are who we are here. We share with you our true selves and souls, and we bear it all here on the Political Cesspool. And as I said at the top of the show in an earlier segment in the first hour, you know, make no mistake about who is in control. Political correctness is the new state religion here in the United States. And the regime, the powers that be, have no problem with separation of church and state. In fact, they tie the two together as tightly as they can because the new religion is political correctness. And if you don't believe it, ask yourself who it is you can't criticize. Who's in charge? Is it white Christians? Is it white heterosexual men? Are they in charge? You know, you can criticize them. You can criticize Christ. You can mock them. We talked about this earlier, I know, but you can mock them. And not only that, it's encouraged. It's good media. It's entertainment. It's funny. Now, try to do that with a minority or a homosexual. Not mocking, even. Just, again, objectively criticizing them will be enough to get you sent into the gulag. It's not Christians that are in control anymore in this country. This is a godless country now. If you don't believe me, turn on any television show or movie. Guaranteed, almost without exception, whites or Christians or white Christians will be and somehow defamed. And I will even submit that even rattlesnakes get more respect. Even rattlesnakes are treated better by those in the establishment media than Christians. When's the last time you heard a major outlet like CNN, and I'm going to be reading from an article that was posted at CNN.com this week. When's the last time you heard them go to the defense of European Americans or Christians of any stripe like they have gone to it here? This is CNN, and there is no shortage. If you Google Sweetwater, Texas rattlesnake roundup, you will see no shortage. There's dozens of them that read almost identical to this. This just happens to be CNN's contribution. basically what goes on in Sweetwater, Texas every year, they have a rattlesnake roundup, and it's just like it sounds. They get these dangerous, venomous, deadly predators,
died a couple weeks ago,
and they kill them. Thank God they kill them so they can't kill some helpless person or God forbid, a baby. Well, you can't kill rattlesnakes. That's not good to kill a rattlesnake. And this, listen to what CNN says. Eddie, I told you what basically the gist of it was, but you're not going to believe to the lengths they go. And again, as I read this, folks, compare this to CNN's lack of defense for the demonization and the dehumanization that Christians and white conservatives face. A rattlesnake's face, CNN writes, gives no clue to its experience of fear or pain, making it hard for most people to feel empathy. But if people are just willing to take a closer look into the eyes of the rattlesnake, trying to hide its head under its coil, you think this is a parody, folks, they're serious. You look closer into the eye of the rattlesnake as it tries to hide its head under its coils after being tormented and having given up its fight to survive, then maybe they would understand what it's going through. Just like people, rattlesnakes have feelings, but they lack the vocal cords and cannot cry out in pain. Traditional roundups like the one in Sweetwater need to end. People need to create a festival that raises money for the rattlesnake and celebrates it as an icon of the American West. One crucial purpose of the rattlesnake and wildlife festivals should be to show children that rattlesnakes must be treated with kindness and respect. Folks, that's CNN. And again, there's no shortage like that. Now, when's the last time? Substitute the word Christian or conservative European American, conservative white person, for rattlesnake. When's the last time you ever heard a mainstream media entity, save this one, talk like that? And this is a rattlesnake. A rattlesnake. Eddie, you know, at my home, we back up to a wooded area. There's a creek not far, maybe 100 yards behind my house. And we get water moccasins and we get cottonmouths in my yard fairly often. I kill about 6 of them a year. I kill them because they're snakes and I don't want to put my daughter in harm's way. Yeah, and not only that, I kill wasps. I kill any kind of vermin, any kind of rodent. Why wouldn't I? Of course I do. Rattlesnakes would kill you. And this article says you don't look into the eye of the rattlesnake and try to understand what it's going through. I wish every writer would actually do that. I wish every one of these writers that wrote an article like this would actually get down and look into the eye of a rattlesnake and see what happens. But this is, well, tell us why and how, other than the obvious. I mean, obviously you don't see Christians defended this way in the media as they are being dispossessed. But tell us why this ties in with Easter, Ed, and you made a good comment about this as we were talking in show prep earlier today.
Well, you know, I mentioned the fact to James that if you go back to the Garden of Eden, the symbol of Satan is a snake. And I told James also that, you know, I used to try to figure out what is wrong with these people in the media. I've told my grandson that society seems to be under some type of a mass, psychiatric insanity spell. Well, I figured it out, and people might disagree with me, but it's not so much mass insanity is infecting our society. It's the same thing that's infected society since that old snake was first introduced in the Garden of Eden. These people are under demon possession. They're under demon influence, and they've given themselves over to evil. They've given themselves over to the evil one, and that's who they worship. Just like in, I believe it was in John, the 8th chapter of John, I believe the 36th verse, starting going to about the 44. Jesus is talking about these people, these very people he was talking about then. Their ancestors are alive today. And he told them, yes, you say you are your son, your father, Abraham. But Abraham looked forward to my time and rejoiced. But you are not of your son, Abraham, really, not spiritually. He's speaking spiritually. You were blood-wise, you were from Abraham. But spiritually, you are of your son, the devil. And he came to rob and to kill and steal. And that's what they're here for. See, the devil hates Jesus Christ. the devil still does. Just like, you know, God is the same yesterday as he is today, the same tomorrow. The same way with Satan. He'll never change. And to the people that follow Satan, you can James mentioned, if you want to see who runs society, just mention who you can't condemn. Well, the snake, in my opinion, I mean, what could represent Satan more than the snake?
A rattlesnake especially.
And a rattlesnake is deadly. We had a preacher die, what, about 3 weeks ago. We talked about the hair thrown in the air. But, and James is right. There's nothing too severe that you can do to a Christian in the mainstream media. They don't just mock us. They hate us. They despise us. And the time is it's not coming. It's here now, where in Canada, for instance, you can't speak out of Romans. And, you know, James mentioned something earlier too. You know, the liberals, the so-called left wing, they believe in separation church and state. We had a former mayor here in Memphis, and although he was Jewish, he was not Orthodox. His name was Mayor Loeb. He was before James's time. I'm a lot older than James. And he was a good mayor. Well, matter of fact, he left the synagogue because he was sick and tired of Rabbi Waxman, who was a very powerful Jewish rabbi here in Memphis. He left there because they kept harassing Mayor Loeb. And Mayor Loeb said that they didn't believe in separate. They believed in separation of church and state. They just didn't believe in separation of church and synagogue. Got to go to a little break, folks. We're going to continue when we come back, and you're really going to be glad you hung around.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
some bright morning when this life is o'er.
Segment of a very special show tonight. It's been an unusual show in a good way, I hope. Easter weekend, the last show before Easter, which is tomorrow. And, of course, we are still in the middle of Confederate History Month, which, by the way, wraps up next week, if you can believe it. I mean, certainly we should revere those who fought to preserve the American way of life in the Second War for Independence, 1861 to 1865, each and every week. It should never be far from our hearts and minds and lips. But as far as our official Confederate History Month tribute and series, it'll wrap up next week. And I appreciate, again, Keith Alexander and his guests tonight for their contributions in this continuing series. It'll wrap up next week, but, of course, tonight is Easter as well. So you have Easter and Confederate History Month converging this evening. And so 2 hours out of the three tonight have been focused on, I guess you would say, special events or special circumstances. We're going to be back to our standard fare next week for the most part, although next week will be an unusual show as well. Keith Alexander is being sent as the Political Cesspool's official emissary to the American Renaissance Conference near Nashville next week. He'll be reporting live from there. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be a little further down the road in Nashville itself, training for a marathon that he'll be participating in, and I'll be here by my onesie holding down the fort, I guess you could say. So next week will be another interesting show, although not exactly the same as tonight's. With tonight, we're focusing on Easter. Next week, we'll be focusing on the American Renaissance Conference and all the goings-on there and wrapping up Confederate History Month, and we'll even work in a few interviews and news items as well. So busy, busy month, April, has been for the Political Cesspool and yours truly. Of course, tomorrow, folks, is Easter. Remember the true significance and meaning of Easter. I'm going to go and have fun. I'm going to have eggs with my daughter, and we're going to eat food. We're going to do all that fun stuff that you do. I enjoy the secular stuff you do at Christmas time, too. But at the end of the day, I remember what they both are for Bible-believing Christians. Christmas, of course, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Easter, far more important. Everybody was born. Not many rose from the dead. And if you believe in the Bible, you believe that. And so that's what Easter is all about. Eddie, another fast hour. You know, sometimes it seems me and you have the opportunity to sink our teeth into some real juicy stuff. And tonight, Easter, obviously something we want to revere and respect and celebrate.
You know, just a quick plug for the old marathon that Papaw is doing. I'm going to be the official cesspool emissary up there. I think I'm going to try to wear my T-shirt I've had for years and years and years, the Political Cesspool, when we used to be on AM 1380. But I'm really proud of doing that for the cesspool. And a lot of the cesspoolians, our listening audience, helped me get up and raise a lot of money last year for St. Jude. You know, and that... getting that out, I didn't want to talk about that too much. You know, earlier in the show, he mentioned also, and I use Rabbi Waxman here in Memphis as an example of who you can't talk about in society if you want to know who controls things. And we talked about one fellow sent James a donation and said that Christianity doesn't represent white people, right? Like they should. Well, it's not that they don't know what's going on. It's not that the head honchos in Christianity don't know. There is no heavier duty or no bigger hitter than Billy Graham in Christianity. And here's what he said. I'm going to read you a little statement he said back in 1973. He was in the White House talking to then President Richard Milhouse Nixon. This tape was taped in February 21st, 1973. And the title of this says, "The Stranglehold Has to Be Broken or This Country's Going Down the Drain." This is real short quote, he said. He says, the Bible talks about, this is Billy Graham, the Reverend Billy Graham, talking to President Nixon. He says, the Bible talks about two kinds of Jews. One is called the synagogue of Satan. And if you want to go to your Bible, you can go over to Revelations, second chapter of Revelations, verse 9. You can go to the third chapter of Revelation, verse 9. That's what Billy Graham is talking about. He said, the Bible talks about two kinds of Jews. One is called the synagogue of Satan. They are the ones putting out the pornographic literature. They're the ones putting out those obscene films. And although it doesn't say it right here, Billy Graham, President Nixon was surprised, because I remember reading this in the past. He said, you mean you actually believe that? He said, yes. And Billy Graham says, yes, I do, President. That's totally true. And if we don't break the stranglehold that the Jews have in the media and in Hollywood, we're going down the drain. And President Nixon said, well, I know that. I know it. I know this to be true. But he said, if I said something about that, I would be slaughtered by the media. I would be absolutely slaughtered. So that's why you can't talk about...
Can I say something about that?
Sure.
Yeah, I want to say something about that. And, of course, that's no secret. A lot of people know that. But here's the thing. They knew it. The President of the United States knew who was in control of things. Billy Graham, who was very flawed in many ways. I'm not going to say it was a total lost cause, but he knew it too. Certainly, without question, one of the most influential evangelicals, though, of the 20th century. That cannot be disputed. So he knew, the Southern Pope, that's right. So Billy Graham knew it. Richard Nixon knew it. And I've often wondered, if they knew it, why didn't they do something about it? And I'm not talking about, advocate pogrom or something like that. Just talk about it. Have an open, frank discussion about it and whether or not this obscene amount of power and influence for one group of people that are radically to the left and anti-Christian is good for a Christian country like America once was. Why didn't they talk about that? Well, you liken it, of course, to the employee who, after a bad day at work, comes home and he grouses over his beer and he's upset and he's complaining about the boss, but that employee still goes to work the next day and he punches the clock and he does what he's told. And I think that's exactly what was going on there. They didn't like it. They knew it was problematic. They complained about it in privacy and in secrecy, but they don't dare challenge the boss. And that's all it was.
That's true. It didn't just start with the Reverend Billy Graham. It didn't start with Nixon. It's been going on since time began. We had a famous fellow here in Memphis by the name of Dee Dee. And in his book, David Duke has a book, a title book. The whole book's titled A Jewish Power and Influence, And going all the way back in history, you can see the verse all through the Bible. It says, for fear of the Jews, for fear of the Jews, for fear of the Jews. All the way back to the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. And I know this is about Easter. I'm going to try to get off this just a minute. I'm going to get rolling and get back to Easter. But that's why we have so much anti-Christian hatred in this country right now. It's because, unlike most other nations in the world, the Jews, the Christ-hating Jews, let's just face it, they don't like Christians. They don't like Christ. They have a total, complete stranglehold on this country. You ask any president. You name me one single president for the past 100 years that has not gone to the Wailing, since the creation of Israel anyway, that has not gone to the Wailing Wall and put a yarmulke on their head. And they want to bash President Obama for doing that. Well, Bush did it. Nixon did it. Every candidate, you have to go to Israel. Even Rush Limbaugh has flown over and parachuted out with the Israeli Defense League. It's just, they have, and any politician will tell you, I'm going to wrap this up, if you don't kowtow to the Jewish power and influence in this country, you can kiss your fanny goodbye in politics. You have to have Jewish money, you have to have Jewish advertising, or you're dead meat. Now, I'm going to get off of that, I'm going to hand it back to James.
Now, of course, it's time. I wish we had a quick announcer like they do at the end of a pharmaceutical commercial, where they quickly run through the side effects. They talk real fast. I've said this so many times that I wish we could just work through it real fast. But certainly, folks, this isn't all Jews. Political suicide has just been committed. Yes. No, but it's not all Jews. But it is, it seems, all of the ones in positions of influence in the media and in government. It seems as though all of them do hate Christianity and work against its interests. And, again, what are we talking about? Do we want them to suffer? No, absolutely not. We just think that it should be debated whether or not they should be in these positions of power exclusively, or if there should be some, for all their talk about diversity, it'd be nice if we had some diversity in Hollywood studios. And why does it have to be 100% Jewish controlled? And this isn't a conspiracy or conspiratorial. They brag about this in their own publications. We've talked about it many, many times on this show. But no, I'm just saying, you know, let's talk about this and let's debate whether or not it's good for this country and good for a Christian nation that sort of people have so much power. And if it is, then let's debate that openly and prove us wrong. But I think that it is something that should be challenged. We got about a minute left, Eddie. So what can you say about the glory? You know, I said we need to keep this focused on Easter and the true meaning of Easter. And we don't even have time to say anything. Remember, Christ rose on Easter Sunday, everybody. And read the biblical verses pertaining to the resurrection and share that with your family this weekend. We love you. God bless you. I'll see you next week, everybody, for my entire staff and crew. I'm James Edwards. Happy Easter. Good night.